picking up right where we left off. So that very next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you underneath the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Liturgically, this is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And it's very much a Sunday liturgically where it should be obvious who Jesus is. When Jesus gets baptized in the Jordan by John, the clouds open up, the dove descends, and a booming voice says, "This is my son, my beloved, listen to him." Like, if we don't get the hint, the ever so subtle hint there that this guy is something different, we're probably not going to, right? And this year, Baptism of the Lord comes one day after the Epiphany, which is the celebration of when the Magi come, the three wise men from far off who go to see this child born, and we know that they get there a little late. And the child born is the one whom angels appear to shepherds in the middle of the night, and they say, "Let us go see this thing that has been told to us." And then we get to John's gospel today, which is riddled with "come and see." And I think this "come and see" is a huge challenge for the church, because right now, the American church is interested in doing trappings, not Jesus. So wait until you come and see our laser light show is not the same as "come and see the Savior of the world." Right? Come and see our choir director on hydraulic lift with dry ice smoke. Not happening. We intentionally did not put that in the budget. As soon as we have a basement, we'll bring you up out of it. Right? But that's not "come and see the child born in Bethlehem." And so this really strong tension in the way John presents the calling of the disciples, which is different from how the other Gospels present it. This first part of the passage is that John the Baptist is in town, and Jesus walks by, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." I'm like, okay, if you're following John the Baptist, you already think something's happening, right? And something's about to happen. And so when John says, "This is the Lamb of God," it's probably something you should pay attention to. And Andrew does. And like, this is so funny because this is just about the only time we hear about Andrew in the Gospels. And he goes and he follows Jesus and he says, "Where are you at?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." And Andrew goes to see and spends the afternoon with Jesus. Now, I mean, okay, first of all, how cool is it to get to spend the afternoon with Jesus? But then he goes home and he says to his brother, "This is the one. This is the Messiah. You need to go see him. This is what we've been waiting for." His brother, Simon, maybe you've heard of him, he goes by Peter, is a little bit instrumental as a disciple, right? Just a little bit. So what is it that Andrew sees between John the Baptist saying, this is the Lamb of God, and an afternoon spent with Jesus that makes him say to Simon, you need to meet this guy. You need to see this guy. This is who we have been waiting for. The next day, we get almost an identical scenario. Philip goes to Nathanael after being called by Jesus. Now, this is a non-dramatic call story. John says, and Jesus called Philip, and Philip followed him. Okay. And Philip wants Nathanael to hear the story too. And he gets Nathanael there. Nathanael's a little bit cynical, you can tell. You can hear the cynicism. How do you know who I am? Have you been spying on me? Do you work for the cell phone companies? But again, the piece there is that Philip says, you need to meet this guy. Come and see him. The next encounter we're seriously going to have with Philip is on the road to Caesarea with the Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, think about that. That's the gap in really talking about Philip, is from the first chapter of John to about the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. What does Philip do in both of those cases? He gets somebody introduced to Jesus. If you're only mentioned twice in the Bible, and both of the times you got disciples in place, you're probably in pretty good shape, right? So what I want to ask us today to think about is, what is it about the gospel of Jesus Christ in general and lived out in this congregation that makes us want to say to other people, come and see? It's a really big question. And it changes as we grow up, or if we grow up in some cases. What is it that is compelling enough about the gospel, not just that it's a part of our lives, but that we think it should be part of everybody's life? What makes us feel the way about the gospel that Trilby feels about pizza? Look, these are deep theological questions. To give you a sense, I'm going to tell you a story. A friend of ours in seminary had two kids, Carter and Sarah Jane. And if you've seen those mostly black and white pictures that have the two cute little blonde kids, that's what their kids looked like at the time. They're in their 20s now. They're not nearly as cute as they were then. And Gary was starting a student supply job at a church just over the Alabama line. It was one that was perpetually served by students. And they did something really weird in worship. They did the time with the children after the regular sermon. So Carter, when his dad came, said, I'd like to invite the kids down front. And of course, he has the only two kids to come down front. Carter's a very reserved, calm gentleman now, stands up on the back pew, throws his hands into heaven and says, finally, finally, it's what I've been waiting for. Jumps down off the pew, runs down the center aisle, wraps his arms around his dad's legs, and all his dad can do is mutter into his wireless microphone, yeah, that's my boy. Okay, so, but what is it about the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes you want to say, finally, finally, that's what I've been waiting for? And run down the aisle. That, I think, is the fundamental question that John is asking us in this gospel passage today, is what is it that makes you come and see and tell other people to come and see, and is finally, finally, this is what I've been waiting for. Doctrine is one thing. A lot of pieces of doctrine sound really good. Grace sounds really good. Lunch sounds really good, too. That's not in doctrine. People who pray with you sounds really good. The sound of a congregation at song and at prayer. The ability of a congregation to bear one another's burdens or to even actually honestly offer them up for one another to bear. Being able to call it a church home and a church family and knowing that home and family aren't always comfortable fits, but they are always there. Saying Emmanuel, God with us, the incarnation of the living God. What's your peace? What is the amazing part of it that makes you want to say, come and see this thing? This thing that God is doing that is new and wondrous and amazing and maybe a little bit terrifying. If you are Andrew or Philip today, what does it mean that you're saying, come and see? If you're a good old-fashioned Presbyterian, what does it mean that we're not very good at saying, come and see? What is our excitement in the gospel that needs to be shared? The story we tell this time of year is all about come and see. Shepherds want to see what it is they've been told is happening in Bethlehem. Magi follow a star. Mary ponders all these things in her heart. Anna and Simeon see the child at 8 days old and know that the Messiah has come into the world and say, now we can die happy. We have seen God's salvation on earth. John the Baptist says, this is the one whose sandals I'm not fit to untie. And when the waters of baptism hit Christ's head, the clouds open up, and God says, this is mine, and I love him. Which story for you is worth telling to the world, come and see what God is doing? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.